We're on Masechet Shabbat Daf Kaf Tet, and we're starting at the bottom of Kaf Chet Amud Bet. We have three notes on the bottom. We have the Kibbutarit Shav Adabar Ava, Libra Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now takes us a tangent completely. We're not discussing the Sugya. What the Gemara is concerned about is that it seems like Rabbi Adabar Ava, who said, yeah, we asked the question, right? We said that we understand that they're arguing about Tumah. What's the argument about Hadlaka? We said, and then we went into the explanation that we're talking about Erev Shabbos, and they all agree with the whole idea of Shivrei Kalim, and they all held about Kippul, etc. And then it seemed like Rabbi Ava sort of took sides of this machlok, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda, and said, Halacha is like Rabbi Huda. That's Gemara's problem. Does Rabbi Ava really believe Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to a davar shel mitkaven? Okay, if you do something which you aren't in kaven, this is Gemara like this. Umi Amar Rav Ada, Rashi says there. You see Umi the Kama, you see Rashi over there. If you look at Rashi, the third line from the bottom, it says Milta ba'ape nafshehi. This is a new subject. It's on its own. He says ba'ape nafshe on their own. And bitmiya, it's a question. Right? Lemirmei Rav Ada Ada Rav Ada. To bring a steer here from one Rav Ada to another Rav Ada. Everybody agrees that you can't do Hesek on Yontif with Shivrei Kalim. That seems to be a side of the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And he seems to say everybody agrees through Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rashi's question here. De itlay nolad shmaminak. He said there's nolad. And it appears that it's like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the Gemara's question. Does Rabbi Adabar Abba really hold? Does he already say that? Does Rabbi Yehuda bar Abba hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, that's the Gemara's question at the moment. It's like it's Vaham Rabbi Adabar Abba, but we've got another makor, a source of Adabar Abba, right? Where he says like this: Nochri shekakak kav bedikat Israel. If a Nochri who took a piece of wood, a piece of wood. And chiseled into it, on Yontif, Rashi says, Shechakak Kav, a measure which can hold a Kav, right? Like quite a big amount, right? Rabbi Kat Yisrael, in a piece of wood of Israel, may Sikke B'Yom Tov, you can use that wood and use it to light a fire on Yontif. Look at Rashi. B'Yom Tov, the Habadai Nolad. Now, what's the problem? If you created that Kav there, you basically made it, you were Nolad, right? You created a Kli out of a piece of wood. And this kli is now nolad. And yet Rav Adabar Abba seems to say that you can use it on Yontif. Right? Mesik Yontif. But am I? How come you can use it? It's nolad. And we said a second ago, the Kondra Rav Yehuda, the kula alme itlay, that nolad is asked to use something which was created on Yontif. Nolad means it was born today. It was born today on Yontif. How can you use it? And Rav Adabar Abba said, kula alme Rav Yehuda, that you can't use it. And now we're saying that Buta, you can use it. Okay, clear? Question clear? Right?
Yep.
So the Gemara gives answer and says, no, it's not really a steer between Rav Adabar Ava and anybody else. This is Le Divrehem. Rav Adabar Ava was talking in the context of a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Le Divrehem and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva ka'amalei. Velei, but he himself, Rav Adabar Ava, lost Svirelei. He doesn't really hold of that. But he was saying in the context of the machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, they both hold to that, not me. So Rav Adabar Ava isn't talking about himself, talking about them. Kerugrashi there, hi the Okim Lel Rabbi Abba Abba Rabbi Yehuda, the Chazep Nuktai, the Lomi took me El Ali Bid Rabbi Yehuda, Umihu says Rashi, however, he himself, Ihu lost Virale, Ela Krabi Shimon. So the Gemara was relaxed. Okay. So that was the first answer to the question we saw was, the first answer to the question which we had on yesterday's Amud, right, was, let's find my place there, sorry. The first question was when we said we had Amar Adabar Ava. The Gemara now brings Rava, who gives another explanation to what the machloket there is all about between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rava Amar, a new answer. He says, "Hainu taimed Rabbi." This is Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's story? Look at Rashi there, the last wide lines at the top. Taimed Rabbi Eliezer but had luck with regards to lighting. Why did Rabbi Eliezer say that you can't light with it? Remember, he said that the kippul doesn't mevatel the tumah. Therefore, you couldn't use that wick if you made a wick from folded up old clothes. Right? Why can't you light it? It doesn't light nicely. So the problem is you can't use it because it doesn't light nicely. And The love mishum nolad. Rashi didn't ask him. Nothing to do with Rabbi Eliezer wanted to say it was unique to a case when it was Shabbos, Yontav was Erev Shabbos, and there was a problem of Shivra Kalim and Muktzah and Nolad. Rabbi says nothing to do with Erev Yontav. It applies to all the Shabbos of the year. We talk about Erev Shabbos even if it's not Yontav. And it's a simple reason that you can't use it because it doesn't light nicely. Just not nice. And that's the only reason why you can't use it. Right? And he says like this. If it wasn't singed, mechurechet means, I think that's the English translation, singed. It has to be like a little bit burnt beforehand so that it lights nicely. Velo besmart tutin shedam mechurechin. You can't use any patila that wasn't burnt singed nicely. Losmasmartutin means like rags. She'einan mechurechin. Right? If you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel over here, where he says there, if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, about five lines down from Rabbeinu Chananel, so filah she'einan mechurechet, v'Rabbi Akiva matir. So Rabbi, that's the machloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says you can't use it. Sorry? Somebody say something? Shavuot Tov, everybody. I'm just going to manage, just mute everybody here if you don't mind. Mute all and allow you to unmute yourselves if you want to. Yes, done. Okay. So this is over here. V'lo b'smart tutin she'einan mechurechin. And Rabbeinu Chananel finds in the missing line over here. And he says, however, that Rabbi Akiva matir. That's a perfect machloket there, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, you can't recognize. It's an interesting question you have tossed for. Just will take 1 second. I don't know how quick you're going to take tonight. But the, if you look there, the Makoy we brought there, we said there, on both of them. Tosfot says, I understand. Kashe. If you can't even use a wick that hasn't been singed, so ein madlikin, kosher came besmart tutin shel mechurachin. Why do we have to even learn about rags? If you can't use a wick that hasn't been singed, a wick is like the ideal thing, perfectly set aside for a candle. Obviously, you're going to improvise and use an old piece of clothing. You definitely there can't use it if it hasn't been singed. So ever the Tosefta has it there, not sure it's a kasha of Tosefta. Understand? It's a good question, right? If a wick you can't use, then obviously you can't use something which wasn't a wick. So it's a good question. Not sure why. No answer. Okay, let's carry on. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. While we're on this question over here of dvarim she'enu mitkavein, which we spoke about earlier on, things that you weren't intended. Remember, we discussed at the very beginning of the shir, the hakdama of Masechet Shabbos. We said a davar shenu mitkavein. There's a difference between a davar shenu mitkavein and a psik reisha. Psik reisha means that irrespective, the outcome will be. Right? So a davar shenu mitkavein means you intend something not to happen, and something might have happened, but it wasn't your intention. There we got a machloket Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says it's still asur. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutar. When it came to a psik reisha, it was more complicated because a psik reisha means that you didn't intend it to happen, but you know that it couldn't not happen. We gave the example, Pasik Reisha, Lo Yamut, if you chuck the chicken's head off, it won't die. That's a Psik Reisha. Obviously, you can't tell us, I don't really want to chop the chicken's head off. I don't want to kill it. You know, you chop a chicken's head off, it's going to die. That's called a Psik Reisha. Davash HaMikavi, I didn't want to kill the chicken, I just wanted its head. See, if there was a chance that it wouldn't die, if you're a voodoo mess specialist, I don't know, and you could chop chicken's heads off and they'd still live, then maybe you could say that it wasn't a Psik Reisha. There'll be Davash HaMikavi. That classic example is dragging a bed through the sand, right? If there's a chance that it won't make a furrow, then you haven't, remember, furrow, there could be a problem either bone or harisha of plowing. We discussed it previously. We'll bring that example over here now. Now, a case would be if you drag a bed with four legs through a tiled house, like in your house, all of your houses. None of you live with sand floors. So there, it's a davar shenu mitkavein. If for whatever case happened, let's say the tile was very soft, you managed to, like, I don't know, furrow a hole through your tile, it would be unlikely, it would be a davar shenu mitkavein. But if you were doing it on a sand floor, it would be a psik reisha. Okay, so we're going to get there in a second. When we said the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is only about a... We'll see that if the Gemara explains it. That's what we're going to now. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Meisikin bekelim v'ein meisikin b'shivrei kelim. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw this before, right? So now you can light fires with fully-fledged kelim, but not with new ones, with broken ones, because of Nolad. Rabbi Shimon Matri says you can. And the Gemara says, well, Meisikin b'tamarin. Right? You can also light a fire with a tamar, with what's a tamar? Pomegranate, right?
Dates.
Are you talking to me, Selwyn? You got to unmute your mic. We can't hear you. Your mic's not working. Your mic's not working. Sorry, your mic. I've unmuted you. You're not muted, but your mic's not working. Okay. So he says, "Mesikin became Adam, but in Mesikin b'shibra kendra b'yura b'shubatir. Mesikin b'tmarim. You can use dates, right? Mesikin b'tmarim, b'tmarim. Achlan. If you ate the date." And mesikim begari nehen. You can't use their pip, right? You can't use their pip. Rukin Rashi there, betamarim. Did I skip over something? What are you telling me? Did I skip over? That's what Sal was trying to tell me. Okay, I apologize. I just realized now. Right, I'm wondering whether it's okay. Ela, should remember this was mentioned in the Mechorachin. Ela ha the time of Yosef. Sorry. Okay, shkoach. Okay. Ela ha. Right. Elahad Tani.
You're not supposed to point that out.
I'm not supposed to point that out. You're not supposed to point that out. I can point it out. Right? Elahad Tani of Yosef. Gimla Gimla Tum Samot Lamaychas. Now, what was the question now? Sorry, let's go back to the previous sugya. So now, if we say that Rava, he gave a different answer to Rabbi Eliezer, right? If Rava gave a different answer to Rabbi Eliezer, then we saw at the end of the sugya yesterday after Rabbi Eliezer, you had Rabbi Yosef, who says, ah, now I finally remember. Hayutani give like what the I learned in Yeshiva when they said that we were speaking about 3x3, a piece of fabric that's exactly 3x3 size. I don't know what it was, it's right, but my Yilchata, right? He said, and then he understood what it was. And we said over there that the Ili Indian Tmuya was about with regards to Mr. Gwar says, now wait a second, Rava got to Rav Yosef was so excited yesterday. Suddenly discovered he knew what that Gimel Tzum Samot was. If you tell me now that the sugya is a different sugya, we're not discussing Erev Shabbos or Shivrei Kalim or anything, and we're discussing simply that the candle can't light nicely, then what was Rav Yosef so excited about? It's Gemara's question, right? He says, Elahad Rav Yosef, Gimel Gimel Tzum Samot, Lema Yechata Le'inyan Tuma. He says, it's not Gimel Gimel She'amru. So Gemara says, no, Gimel Gimel She'amru Chutz Min HaMalal, or Malal Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So he says, what we're speaking about here, he says, no, chutz min amalal. He says, derech tofre begadim, people who would look at Rashi there, people who, like the seamstress who would sew clothes, limlo min abagadim lekoflan ma'at svivat, they would make a hem. I think in English, the expression, I think it means a hem, right? When you follow the Rashi, I was saying, yes. V'achatach tofre, and then they roll up a bit of a hem, and then they would sew. The gimel gimel, so folit for le klai bebegit, I mean, for poor people, that little amount of size they'd use, right? Lachain ach shavua liot kli, so therefore, when you come in to measure the thing to be at least 3x3, it has to be 3x3 more than the amount you'd fold over to make a bit of a hem. That's what he was speaking about. That was what it was all about. And Chachamim said it's actually mechuvanot b'tzum tzamot, very exact. This is when they're considered a kli. Afagav the kshit for lo havei shalosh. Right, even though you never had three when you made came to fold over the hem, Hainu Hachter Rav Yosef, the Shav Yosef, Lav Mishum Di Yav Tfei Lo Mitame, and therefore even not because if it was smaller, it wouldn't be Mitame. El Lafukei Midatana Kama. To his was saying was that the Chachamim said even if it's three mechuvanot, and when you make the hem, it's going to be less than 3x3. That's still good enough to be Mitame. Not like Tanakama who said you have to have 3x3 plus the hem. That was what Rav Yosef was about. So we still got the deal. Rav Yosef's happy. And we can move on. Okay, now we get back to where we started. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda said, Mesikim Akadim, Mesikim B'Shiva Akadim, Rabbi Shua Matir. Then we said, Mesikim B'Tmarin. You can light a fire where you can use dates. I suppose dates is a good fuel for a fire. Rashi says, yeah, the Agav the Mesikim B'Tmarin, why can you use Tmarim? We're talking about Yontif now. The Agav the Mitaltele Hulachila Chazu Namila Saka. Since you can eat them, they aren't Muktzah. Since you can eat them, they're not Muktzah because you can eat them, you can also use them for fuel. However, Achlan, Rashi now says, now we're talking about Achlan be Yom Tov, if you ate them on Yom Tov, right? Ain mesikim be garinim, Rabbi says, you can't use the garinim, why? Tahave lehu nolad, Rashi says, because now the date was a date, when you set it aside to eat, you weren't going to eat the date. So now suddenly you've got a pip over there, that pip was nolad, okay, and therefore it becomes mukta. Rabbi Shua says, no problem, you can use it, matir, Rakh Rabbi Shimon will tell you, since it was mutar to eat it, you can use that. The purpose is mutar as well. Right? Now, the new aloha, mesikin begozim, you can use nuts. Eva achlan, if you ate them, mesikin meklipot the hand, Rabbi Yehuda, same thing, you can't use their peels, the shells of the nuts. Rabbi Shimon matir, Rabbi Shimon says matir. Now, the Gemara says vitshicha, we still need this, we need both examples in this smita. Why? Diashminan kamaita, if we just spoke about the tamarim, Bahikam Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum de Mikara, Kli Vashta Shever Kli. Right? Sorry. It's not the Tamarim. The first example was Kalim. It was Kalim. Then there was, we'll see in a second, there was Kalim. Then there was Tamarim. And then there was Egozim, right? There were the nuts. So he says, if we're speaking about the first example, which is Kalim, right? So Bahi kam Rabbi Yehuda mishum the mekir kli vashta shever kli v'havelein Rabbi. So why did Rabbi Yehuda say there that you, we never learned all three, both regular Kalim and then Tamarim and then nuts, we would have thought like this. If we had just learned Kalim, we would have said, Rabbi Huda says that you can't use Kalim. Why? Because Kalim were complete Kalim beforehand. Now they're broken. The Shiva Kalim, that's a Vadai Nola. That's Pashut. There's a new, something new was created out of the broken pieces of shards. About Tamarim, but we would say, when it comes to Tamarim, Mikar Garini, Bashta Garini, Amish Abidab, you say, with dates, no problem. The pip was always there. Right? I think Americans call it a pit. Right? South Africa, we say a pip. It makes that pit. If I, you know, you understand what I'm talking about, right? The pip was always there. And now, other way around, if Ishmael and Garin, if we only learned the second halacha with regard to Tamarim, we would say, Havamina de Mikarim Mechasian, they were covered, Pashta Megalian. We'd say, why is the pip? Rabbi Yehuda would say that therefore it's Asur, because originally you couldn't see the pip. Now you ate the date, now the pip is revealed, therefore it was like Dolat. And if you'd say that it's Asur. About Klipa Egozin de Mikarim Miglu Vashta Miglu, Amishapri Dami. And he'd say, with regard to the nuts, the nuts you wouldn't have to worry about because the nuts, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, you can always see the klipot, the shells of the nuts. They weren't hidden, they were always there, then you could use them, you could also use them. Basically, with Kalim, we think it was only Kalim and not Shivre Kalim. With regards to Garinim, we think that it was only Garinim and not the pips because they were hidden. With regards to the klipot, we might have thought that the klipot is okay because it wasn't hidden, right? But the Garinim you couldn't use. So therefore, the Gemara says, Tshicha, we need all of them. And the Gemara says like this, this was saying in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, the name of Rav. So the Gemara's question is, where did Rav say this? The Gemara says, Rav didn't actually say it. V'hadar Rav, la b'mfeirush itmar. It wasn't said b'mefurash, right? Ele michlalim, it was inferred. Rav, we had something happen with Rav, where something happened, where he did something which we could infer from what he did. And this is his halacha, this is his opinion. Rav achal tamrei, Rav was eating tamari. Look at Rashi there. When was he eating there? Behold, during the week, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. V'shada kashyata, right? Look, right? V'shada kashyata, Lebuchia, right? And he threw the pip. The kashyata here is a pip. Rashi says here, garin. If you look garin in, it's a little bit of an order. The order's wrong there. But if you look a little bit down, a few lines out of Rashi, you'll see he says kashyata is a garin in their pips. So he v'shara kashyata lebuchia. Now what's buchia, right? Buchia, Rashi says here, buchia is a kirash or ra'afim, some sort of oven made out of tiles. Right, Rashi says there's a korin tilsh. You see, tiles, right? Made out of tiles. So they took roof tiles and they built an oven out of them. Vehi chalulah, it's hollow, says Rashi. Vesvarim shekatuv ben lefi tfei hainu nami kira. It says there's some sort of, it's also like an oven. Vur tirgum shel bait she pitech taker, some sort of oven which has got place for two pots. So Rav took these garanim during the week. And he threw the pips into the fire. We said he clearly thought that the pips were a good fuel for the fire during the week. So Amar Rabbi Chia Barpachti. So Rabbi Chia says to me, we've seen this reference to Rav a number of times. Barpachti, remember? We saw Barpachti. So if you look at Mishra Rashas, he says Le'el Gimel or Daf Gimel, we saw it. And Yarashi says, what's Barpachti? Ben Gedolim. We also saw Barpachti. Well, like Barpachti means like the son of little ones. Pachut. So it's Lashon Sagina Hor. In other words, your father's a gadol, you're such a become a chokham. How do you do such a thing like this? Right? That's what he says. So Amar Rab Chia says to him, Barpachti, kenegdo beyom tov asu. I'm just telling you what you're doing now during the week on Yontov would be asu. Now we saw Amar was Rab was doing it on Yontov, so it's mutta. Right? So now he says this. So the Gemara's question is, kiblemine or lo kiblemine? Did Rab accept what Rab Chia said, that it's asu on Yontov, or didn't he accept that it's asu on Yontov? Well, what's being a brighter here to try and prove what happened? Toshma, Dechiat Rav Lebavel, when Rav went to Bavel, Rav was originally a Talmud of Rebbe with Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was Rebbe's Talmud Muvak. And when Rav and Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Yochanan, they all learned in the same Bed Midrash as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And then Rav went off to Bavel to the Bed Midrash. Him and Shmuel became the Gedolim of Bavel. Right? So when Bav came to Bavel from Eretz Israel, so now, he ate dates. Alright, look at Rashi there, Achal Tamre. And yeah, we're speaking about during the week. No, v'shada kashyata lechiyuta, and he would throw the pip to the animals. Right. So Gemara now wants to prove from this, right, if he accepted Rav Chiya's ruling that it would be, it wouldn't be good, it would be good, right? So now he says, my love befarsiata velo kibla. Isn't this proof that he never makabeled Chia's ruling? And what was the date? Rashi says, yeah, type of a date here, farsiata, comes the word parsi, I think. Obviously, some sort of Persian type of date. How is Selwyn's nodding his head there? So it's written in the Gemara, they're Persian, okay? Right? Tamarim tovim, they were very good dates. Umit bashlim yafen, they were very ripe. And all the whole date, you know, like you buy in Israel, you get these super majuls, or like a majul. They're nice, big dates. And when you pick them off the pit, so the whole date comes off, nothing gets stuck on the pip. Other dates that are less ripe and not so great dates, you can eat them, a lot of food gets stuck on the pip. You don't really get the whole piece of all the meat of the date off. That's what's going on over here. And now, the garin, there's no purpose for the garin, no food on it. So what can you do with the garin? You can't keep the garin because you're going to have some food on it. It becomes mukta, basically. Right? Nonetheless, you can still use it. Why? To throw it to animals. There we see that Rav didn't mekabel that Isser of Chia on Yontif, this example is on Yontif, he would still use it to feed the animals, he would carry the pips around. He said, no problem, you can still use the pips. Right, that's the Gemara's question. Aren't we speaking here about pips that are parsiata, below kibla? Gemara says, no. But Armiata, they seem to be like Armenian or from Aramit. I don't know what type of pip it was. Rashi says over here, Armiata, the ain mit bashlot, they aren't so great, they aren't so ripe, and ochel ni freshmen, mishtaya, begarinim, bechazudanim, and they've got a bit of food left on the date, and therefore you can carry them around. So basically, you can't really prove anything from this brayta over here about Rav, whether you could or whether he did or wasn't makabel the whole story. So Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Chan Rav Yosef. So now we're still on the subject over here. But basically, we saw that Rav didn't accept it really because Rav said that on Yontif you can use it. And the halacha was like, or was Rav, but the Gemara says Rav didn't say it, it was inferred. So it seems to be inferred he didn't accept it, or maybe he did accept it. That particular story doesn't help us prove anything. The Gemara now carries on. A new story. I'm going to have Shmuel Bar Chanan, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, the Amar Mesikim Bekalim, Mesikim Meshivere Kalim. Rav Yehuda, who said, we saw already, that he says that you can use kalim to light a fire, but you can't use shivrei kalim because you've got a case of nolad, if they're broken off shards, right? They're like as if they were created on yontif, they're mukta, right? Kevan de idlik behu purta. He says, we've got a problem now, he says. Because think about it for a second. He says, what is Rabbi Yehuda telling us? He's telling us that if it's a full kli, a fully fledged kli, you can use it to light on yontif. But now, if you take a fully fledged kli, and you light it, the second you've lit it, it's no longer a fully fledged kli. It's now a burnt kli. It's partly broken. So now when you come to turn to stoke the fires, you're now stoking the fires with shivrei kalim. So you started off with a fully fledged kli with a heter. And now when you come to stoke the fires in the second time, it's burnt now for 10 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes. 3 minutes later, you come and you stoke the fires. What are you stoking a shivrei kli? As if a new kli was born at the moment. Should be mukta. What do you do? That's the first question. It says, Kevan de adlik behu purta, since it starts burning, you lit a little bit. Havale shivrei kalim. Now it's a shivrei kalim. It's broken. Uki mahapech. And now when you come to stoke the fires and you turn it over, be'isura ke mahapech. Right? It's a good question, correct? Everybody got the question? Right? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Why? The Avad can Rav Matna. He'll do like Rav Matna. What does Rav Matna tell us? Rav Matna, Amarav, he says, like his Eitzim, Shenishru, Minadeke, Letanubi Yom Tov. If you've got wood that fell off the tree, from the palm tree, and it does happen, by the way, my neighbor's got a palm tree, and we often have, every now and again, like a branch will just fall down into our garden, like it dries out and just collapses. And these things do happen, right? He says, what do you do if a branch falls straight into your fire? He says, no problem. Marbe eitzim muchanim esikan. Take pre-exist, because that eitzim which fell off the tree was mukta. So you can't use it. So Rav says, no problem. You've got eitzim which you set aside Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, you just add some of those in, and then what happens, look at Rashi over here. I think Rashi says the Batel Barov. Is it a Rashi there? Yeah, look at the Kutai Rashi, actually. You've got a Rashi over there that from Beitza. He says there over here, Bar Be'etzim Mukhaninu Mesikin Shea Isur Batel Barov. The Rashi there in Masechet Beitza that says no problem because now it's Batel Barov. Same thing over here. If you've got pips or you've got a shever or a kli, whatever the case is, just as long as it's not the majority of your fuel for your fire, it will be okay. Rav Himnuna, right? Now, this is another. So we gave the first answer to Rav Himnuna on the question there. We had an answer which was Rav Adabar Ava. Now the Gemara brings another answer to that question there of a machloket Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, what they were arguing about. The Gemara goes back down to Rabbi Huna Amar. Hacha, what are we speaking about over here in that case over there of kippel when you folded up that kli to make the wick for your candle? So he says, Hacha bepachot mishlosha shlosha askinan. We're talking about, not there we said, it was exactly three and we had a case of tuma, or even so that Rava said previously, yeah, we're speaking about a case where it was three, where tuma, the story was with a tefer, without a tefer, with a hem, without a hem. So over here, that what are we speaking about? He said, we're talking about pachot mishlosha shlosha askinan, less than three. Now remember, shlosha al shlosha is not three fingers, it's three tvachim. Remember, shalosh al shalosh is etzba, and shlosha al shlosha is tvachim. So we're speaking about something which is less than three tvachim. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says there, Rav Himnuna matnitin, our Mishnah, bepachot mishlosha tvachim, al shlosha tvachim pligei le'inyan tuma. That's the machloket, less than three tvachim. Right? Umikule mitliniot shanukan. Right? Umekule mitlan. What's that? Mitlaniot hakalot be'enav dumia. It says things which, sort of like rags, which you don't take too seriously. The metukanot lepakuk merchatz. They're there for like a plug, lepakuk merchatz, to stop a plug of a bathhouse. The amini de lo chashivu is not something which is important. The kippul, the nakamina, our Mishnah spoke about folding them up and make them into wicks. Mishum hivuv the nakadafka. Says there, everybody agrees that there was no chashivut. And what was the machloket? The machloket was about whether it was pre-burnt or not. About the hivuv, whether it had been singed or not. Dafka. Ubeplukte dehadlaka tana kippul. Just because of the machloket there, we chose kippul. Right? And he says, as Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Eliezer were totally consistent in their previous opinions from other places. Ditna, we got a Mishnah. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah via Masechet Kelim. Pachot mishlosha shlosha sheitkinu lepakek bo etamercha tunaer bo etakedaira ulekanech bo etarechaim. He says like this. There was this cloth, which was less than three tvachim, which you had set aside, right? Sheitkinu, Rashi says, shehiktsu lechach. In other words, it wasn't muktzeh erev yom tov. Remember we said, Rashi, hektsu midata, if you had it out of your mind, but yeah, it was in your mind. And you had three purposes. You set aside one of these three things. What were they? Either lepakeket amerchatz, or she says nekavim shamayim ba'im derech sham amerchatz, either the gutter running the water in, or the gutter running the water out, the drain, whatever. Lena'er bo et hakedaira, right? Rashi says lechoz b'hen shleh hakedaira ulena'ara letoch hatamchui. He says you want to hold it and shake it, right? You want to hold something like a rag to hold your pot to shake it around, right? Or either use it for that. It was one of the reasons. Or lekaneach bo tarechaim, or to go and clean your grindstone with it, like a rag to clean it. Bein min amuchan or bein she'ein min amuchan. Now listen to this. This bein min amuchan is a bit of a red herring. I don't think it really has too many implications laloch in our discussion. But the worst over here, bein min amuchan, bein shelo min amuchan. Look at Rashi. Like we'll see it later on what it's about. Whether it was prepared or wasn't prepared. Whether it had been prepared before or not prepared before. Right? Now we've got a three-way machloket here between Rabbi Eliezer, right, between Rabbi Yeshua, and between Rabbi Akiva. So he's saying, this is, when we're saying, as Rabbi Eliezer at the time, Rabbi Akiva, they see Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in this machloket here have the same opinions what they have in our machloket in yesterday's Amud. Okay, so let's just look at it. It's not so difficult. It's like this. If it was Bein Min Amuchan, Bein Shel Ein Min Amuchan, Tamei. Rabbi Eliezer says, they're all Tamei. Whatever the case, it was prepared, not present matter. Right, they were three by three. Remember, Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Eliezer said, yes, the kippul doesn't mevata. Remember, the fact that you folded it doesn't mean there's no longer a kli, and therefore it's still mekabel tumah. Remember we said that yesterday? Same thing over here. Rabbi Yeshua mer, bein min amuchan, bein shelo min amuchan, tahor. He says, irrespective, they're all tahor. And Rabbi Akiva says, min amuchan tameh, if you had set it aside beforehand, it would be tameh. v'shelo mina muchan tahor. If it wasn't mina muchan, then it would be tahor. So if it was mina muchan, tame. Rab, why mina muchan tame? Rabbi Akiva is the one who says to us that kippul is mevatel. So we'll come over that. We'll see in a second. Amar ula v'itam rabbi baruch rabbi yochanan hakol modi. He says like this. Everybody agrees now. You'll see that there are three levels here in what mina muchan means. Mina muchan means that you throw it into zarku ba'ashpa divra kol tahor. If you had sent it into, if you throw it into the garbage, and you took it out of the garbage to use it, then everyone says this tahor. Why? The fact that you threw it into the bin means that it, you gave it no chashivut. It wasn't important for you. And it wasn't important that it lost the status as a kli. If it lost that as a kli, it could no longer be makabel tuma. Okay. So they're according to Ula. This is according to Ula and Rabbi Abraham Rabbi Yochanan. Nobody argues the machloket between Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Ezra, Rabbi Yeshua is not about this. If you threw it into the bin, because it is no longer in kli, right? Heinicho bekufza divrei kol tame. If you left it in a box, look at Rashi. Galei date de chashida. There you're proving to the whole world that your intentions are to look after this. You put it into a box to safeguard it. It's got chashivut, and then everybody said that it's tame. Even Rabbi Yeshua would say that it's tame. Even Rabbi Akiva would say, makes no difference, buchan, not bida buchan. Now, there's two other things you could have done with it. You could have either thrown it into the bin or kept it in a box. Those are the two extremes. There are two other things you could have done with it. One, you could have hung it behind the door on a hook, on a peg. Right? Look here, it's like this. Lo, when is the machlok between all of them? Lo, nechleku ela, shetela'o, you hung it up, but my God. Rashi says, look here, kibla. Right, like on a peg, on a hook behind the door. The garami kufza is not as good as a kufza, less status of a kufza, and not showing how careful you ought to be with it. The adif macha, sorry, not on the behind the door. I apologize, I'm confusing two things over here. I actually confused myself yesterday as well. So on a kib, you hang it up on a hay, on a hook. And that is still showing you want it. Like you may people got in their bar in their kitchens, they've got like hooks, right? And you've got your dishcloth, you hang it on a hook. So you don't fold it up nasty and safe. Guard it in a box, but you put it on a hook, but show you still want it, right? Or you've got chenichul achra did it. You just stuck it behind the door. Now the question is, what are those two things over there? Look at Rashi. He says kufza va'arif mechra. It's better than behind the door. Va'achra delet is arif mizarkul ashba, and having it behind the door, keeping it there behind the door, is still better than throwing it into the bin. Umuchan, it's muchan. Rabbi Ezer hainu kufza. Rabbi Ezer concerned. These stages over here of hanging them on the door on a hook, still as if you put it in a box, and he says it's so chashivut and therefore becomes tamei. V'shalom min amuchan migod v'achra delet. Okay, I'm not trying to make too many configurations here, so that's why I'm just lumping them together. But look at the Gemara like this. Rabbi Leda savar midelo zarko ba'ashba. Since you never threw it in the bin, date ilave. Your intentions are on it, right? And therefore, it's got chashivut, and therefore it will become mekabel tuma. It's mekabel tuma, so we need a situation which undoes the ability to mekabel tuma to make it good for a candle. And that's why he said yesterday that kippul, folding it up, lo mevatel tuma, right? And since this is a chashuv kli, we need, it's got tuma, therefore mekabel tuma, you can't use it. The Gemara says, va'amai, the Bach changes that umai to va'amai, karilei shlo min amuchan. Why is it called not mina muchan, that is not prepared? He says, because something in a box set aside, carefully looked after, is more readily available, called mina muchan. This, in relation to the box, is not mina muchan, but it's still got chashivut. Rabbi Yeshua, what about Rabbi Yeshua? He says, Savar, Rashi, umuchan, Rabbi Yeshua, magod, vachradet, vishlo mina muchan, zar kur ashpa. He says this again, Rabbi Yeshua says that if it's behind the door on a peg, so it's muchan, and if it's in the bin, it's not mina muchan. So Rabbi Yeshua says, "Lo hinichu bekufza bitle batle." Rabbi Yeshua says that that's why Rabbi Yeshua says that all the cases are tahor when, whether it's behind the door on a hook, is tahor, because if you threw it in the bin, that would be vadai tahor, because not chashuv. But the kufza for Rabbi Yeshua is the only time when you kept it in a box that he says is chashivut, and then it's mekabel tuma. But if it's already not in a box, then all the other things are good enough to reduce its level of chashivut, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma, and therefore in both cases it would be tahor. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, behind the door and in the box is still chashivut. No, in the box, behind the door and on the peg, all those three things are chashivut. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, in the box is chashivut, behind the door and on the peg are no longer chashivut. Or my carry le muchan. So why does he distinguish between muchan and lo muchan? He says the legabe ashbe muchanu. He says that those behind the door and on the peg, with regards to as far as the ashpa is concerned, they're more readily available, but they still batal dato and therefore not makabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva says, "Batal o b'magod when it's on the peg." So Savarak Rabbi Dez, he says that on the peg. That's remember Rashi at the very beginning, the very first Rashi. Look at the second line of Rashi. He says, "Kibla the garami kufza is worse than a box, but better than machra delit." That's for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is one who makes the distinction between if it's hanging on the door or hanging on a peg. If it's on the peg in your kitchen, ready, you can all see it. That's got more chashivut than behind the door. That's what the Gemara says. Banicho achra delet sabalak Rabbi Yeshua. Right? So he says, when it's behind the door, like Rabbi Yeshua, it's makabel, not makabel tuma. Right? But taloba magod, I skipped over that, right? Sabak Rabbi Ezi, like Rabbi Ezi, is makabel tuma. And then the Gemara says, Vahadar bei Rabbi Akiva le gabi Rabbi Yeshua. Mi mai, right? Look at Rashi there. Vaharar by Rabbi Akiva le Rabbi Yeshua. Metaher ap b'muchan. Then Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, even b'muchan is metaher, right? So he says, where do you get it from? Amar Rabbi Diktari p'tilat ha-beged. When Rabbi Akiva charged our example in our Mishnah, p'tilat ha-beged, the wick, right? Mayer Diktari p'tilat ha-beged. Why did you not p'tilat ha-beged? Latne p'tilat shel beged. Why didn't he say the p'tilat from the beged? Mayer p'tilat ha-beged, the dying beged, who it's in a beged. So basically, Rabbi Akiva says that so long as it's a p'tilat, it's still beged, and therefore it's makabel tuma. Or it's not becoming too much. Honestly, I'm a little bit confused at the end of that sugya, but we got the basic idea. Let's move on. Okay, Mishnah. It's a famous Mishnah. We all know anybody else who davened Ashkenaz once upon a time in our lives. We used to have a Madlikin. This is the second part of Mishnah. So we're in Parak by Madlikin. We learned the first Mishnah was, I think, Daf Kaf, wasn't it? Where does Parak start in Daf Kaf, eh? Yeah, Daf Kaf, I was bet by Madlikin. And now the Mishnah carries on. I remember this from Shabbos. Lo yikov adam shofet shel beitza v'yimalena shemi v'dina pianer shul shtei v'na tefet. So now, if you want to think back, we don't have this problem, but if you want to be creative and you want to now have a long lighting olive oil flame, so what do? You've got your lantern, your ner, this cheres, this porcelain type of thing, you've got your wick in it, you've got another hole on the other side. And you put an egg, a big egg, let's say an ostrich egg or whatever. You make a hole in the egg, fill it up with oil, and the oil will drip from the egg into the light, into the nair, and that keeps the fuel going. Okay, you understand what's going on here? Right? Basically, create a some sort of mechanism that you've got an extra storage source of oil over and above what you've got in your lamp. I mean, yeah, so law you cover dam, so the Mishnah said you can't take a beitza and make a hole in it. You cover dam, make a hole, pierce. Fresh beitza, v'yimalena shem, and fill up with oil. V'yidnena al pi'ah, and put it onto the candle. V'yidnena al pi'ah, will drip into the candle to keep the oil going. I look at Rashi there. Shtei min ha-tefet. V'yidkayem ha-ner, and that's where the light will go for longer. Shtei ha-shem mitnatef, kol sha'al ha-toch, and every hour it will fill up. V'time of why not, says Rashi. Mishum gzeira, shem ha-yistapei kemen. Because you might want some oil, and you got some hummus over there, and you can't find oil in the kitchen. So there's this whole egg full of olive oil, and you got to take a spoon out and put it onto your hummus, then I gave with your hummus, right, on Shabbos. Why not? Right, because the kevan check tzehu laner, and since you set it aside for the candle, you already distinguished, you've dedicated it to the candle, chayev mishum mechabe. You're now over on extinguishing the candle. You're going to make the candle burn for it. It's like taking your time. We discussed the other day. Right? With these time switches we've got with the little clicks on it. So when the time switch is, when the Shabbos lights are on, you can extend the time switch to go on for longer. But you can't make it go off sooner. Exactly the same thing here. By taking oil out the candle, it's like making the time switch go off sooner. Exactly the same thing. Same principle. Right? Even on a shvoferet shel cheres, if you're using some sort of a receptacle which is cheres, which gets all black and sooty and disgusting, you might not even come and touch it. You could say, well, that I definitely won't touch on Yom Tov or Shabbos. On Yom Tov, obviously not Shabbos, right? Not even Shabbos, maybe. The Gemara says that even there is a gzera, even if it's ma'us, we're very particular about this gzera. That's the Mishnah, right? Why? So the Gemara says, "Yashmina shofet shel beitza b'hakami rabbanan." The kavod lo meisa at least. And I'm in the Gemara, so I skipped over. V'afilu yishol cheiris tcheiris. Rabbi Yehuda says, "No problem, matir." Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, you can do it." Aval im chibra hayotze mitchila mutar. But now that's if you added like an extra piece of this egg outside. But if before Yontif or before Shabbos, you'd actually connected them together, I don't know, stuck them, made into one big mechanism, whereas if you had a pre-existing candle which enabled you to have a place on the side that was fitted to it that you could fill up oil in, that you can do. It's just not a makeshift mechanism we don't want you to do. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Right, look at Rashi.
What's the Ma'isa?
Mechabe.
The Ma'isa.
Ma'is means disgusting. Even if it's disgusting, right. Ma'us. If you use like a porcelain lantern, which will become black and all soot, and you wouldn't even want to touch it on Yom Tov or Shabbos, and therefore the Gemara is thinking maybe you wouldn't come to want to take the oil out of it because it would be disgusting, even then the Gzaira still applies. Okay.
Aval im chibra. You're adding time or...
No. On the contrary, you're reducing time. You're doing kibbu. You mean mechabe. You're taking oil off.
No, but if you have it preferred as one bowl.
If you have it preferred as one bowl, so then you can use it because we're not worried. Look at the second. Okay, but im chibra, leke le michashash. You're not worried about it. Why aren't you worried? The mishum isu shabbat badil mina. Because you know that it's booked, so you're not going to touch it. Because you can see that the whole thing's a Shabbat, it's a special candle. Here, you put an egg on, you might think, the egg is not really part of the candle. I can take it off anyhow, I might come to use it. But if it's one existing proper mechanics are done beforehand, you would know that you can't use it. You separate yourself from it. Right? That is, it says, you shouldn't fill up a kara, like a jug, a bowl, sorry, of oil. And put it next to your candle. What Rashi says over here, if you look at Rashi, he says, Rosh Abtila Hashaini, Shu Yotze Derech HaNekev HaAcher B'Shebenei Lishov. If you take, you've got your candle, your porcelain candle, and he has the wick. So the wick is in the oil. Now take the wick like this, weave it through the other hole, and then stick it into your bowl of oil next to it. Again, we're looking for a way to make this whole thing last longer. So you got your wick over here, you take a long wick, you put it through your oil, into that oil as well. So once it burns up, it's going to suck the other oil into your oil. When your oil's finished, it will suck that oil in, and then you get extend the lantern. You shouldn't do that as well either. And there we see how Rabbi Yehuda says you can. Rabbi Yehuda says, Matir, the Lord God, we weren't gozer on that. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you gozer on an egg. If you got a whole bowl next to me on gozer, we'll see in the Gemara. Let's quickly, we're running out of time, let's move. Gemara. Like we said, the we need both these halachas. They seem to be the same, right? The beitza and this kara, this bowl, they seem to be the same halacha. How come we need got the bug? We need the what? The yashmina shofer shel beitza. We just learned about the egg. Ba kamer there we said, but answer was asur. The chivan lo meisei at least because the egg is not disgusting. You see that meisei there, Daniel. The rav not meis, right? There you aren't worried about it. And you come, but in the second example, where it's a kara, you might be using a porcelain bowl, and that's going to get all black and sooty and disgusting. You wouldn't come in and say that you could use it. If we just learned the second one about cheres, sorry. I'm making the same mistake here like I made earlier with the kli and the tamar and the egos. There are three things over here. There's shoferet, and then there's cheres. And then there is the kara. Here we're speaking about the first two of the egg and the cheres. If they never mentioned cheres particularly, they think that cheres there would be mutar because it's ma'is and they regret Rabbi Yehuda. V'yashvinan shel cheres just learned cheres. B'ha'kam Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda was mutar. But with the beitza Rabbi Yehuda would agree with chachamim. If we learned these two, the egg and the cheres, and we never learned about the kara, the bowl, there Rabbi Yehuda says that it's mutar. Why? Look at Rashi there. Because you're not going to come and take anything of it. Why? Because it's sitting on top of the candle. And you know you're not going to come and have a kara. But there's nothing separating the two between them, right? There's nothing separating them. Aval kara de mifsaka, that's what we listen to as mutar. Aval kara, there's something that's separating them, right? Look at Rashi there. Aval kara de mifsaka, share etzna ner munach next to the candle. Vayeshkan hefsek, the separation between the candle and the bowl. Veleke le meimar gufehu, and memorish and exor, right? Therefore, Rabbi Huda might agree over there that since the Lake Lemma, it's not the same thing. He would say, maybe you do have to be Gozer, because there we weren't Gozer, it's not the same thing. He had not Emma Modler, Rabbi, the Gitra Rabbanan's Asur, the Eshbinan, and if we just learned that one and not the other cases of the Cheris and the Kara and the egg, Bahika Rabbi, that's Rabbanan's Asur, Bahani Tarte, but with regards to the egg and the other two, maybe Modler, Rabbi Huda, that's Mutar, Chicha, therefore we need them all. The Gemara basically understands if we had to have all those three halachas learned independent, even though they seem like they were all the same thing. Now the Gemara carries on like this, and therefore Tshicha. Now the Gemara discusses, v'im chibra yotzeh mitchila mutar. If you join them together beforehand, it's mutar. Why? Gemara says, Tana, we've got a brighter that, or Tana taught us like this. Im chibra besid, we've got a brighter that's like, im chibra besid, right, u'bechar sit mutar. Right? When does it have to be? We're talking about the balabait here, I think Rashi says, yeah? Your im chibra balabait atzmo. It was not a professional. The guy himself did a home job, right? But he with cement or with glue, whatever the case was, that's what it would be mutar. Mi ba'od yom v'sila b'chashid mutar. Right? So we're going to say, v'ha'anan yotzer t'nan. But didn't the Mishnah say, if you look in the Mishnah says, im chibra hayotzer mitchila. The yotzer seems to imply the artisan, the manufacturer, the professional, not the balabait himself. It had to be a proper good job, not a shabby home job, right? So the question is, no, my yotzer ke'ein yotzer. It must be done in a proper way, like a professional, not just a slap job quickly, probably. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, pam achat shavteinu b'aliyat beit nitzeh b'lod. Rabbi Yehuda says, once we kept Shabbos, right, in this aliyah, in this attic there of Beit Nitzeh, there's a Nikuta Rashi over here from Kiddusha, it says Beit Nitzeh is a person in his house in Lod. They brought us this candle with this egg, when we filled up Shemen, we made a hole in it, we put on the candle, and Rabbi Tarfon is came in, they never said, don't do it. I don't understand. You got a Mishnah says loyikum adam shushu beitzer. You can't use this candle with the egg. And yeah, we got a case. We're in this attic on Shabbos. Rabbi Tarfon, Tana, Bigadol, and all the gezekani were there. No one said a word. In other words, they said it was quite okay. So I'm going to say to Rabbi Yehuda, Amru Lo, Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya. Is that a proof? That's not a proof. Remember, it's only a gzeira, right? He says, why is that a proof? It says Shani Beit Nitzeh, the Beit Nitzeh people were very zaris, they're very particular about all halachos of Shabbos. And there with Beit Nitzeh, nobody would come to touch the candle. That's why Chachamim weren't worried about it. They said it's not a big deal. So now the Gemara carries on. Avin Tzipora Gara Safsala Beilita de Shisha Le'elim Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Elazar. Now we're in a case of here. Now we get onto a case of here of a davar she'enu mitkavein. We spoke about it at the beginning. So Avin Tzipora was his name. Gara Safsa, he dragged a bench. Be'ilita de Shisha, right? Ilita de Shisha, Rashi says here, Ritzpa shel Shayish, de lo al becharet. It's a marble floor and a wooden maker, not a floor, not a sand floor. And there's no worry there about making a furrow, etc. Right? And Le'ila mi Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Rashi says Le'ila mi Rabbi Yitzchak means in front of him. In front of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yitzchak says to himself, "Ish tukei lechach. If I keep quiet over now, here, kedeshtiku lechavrai Rabbi Yehuda, just like the chavarim there in that house over there of Beit Nitzeh, never said anything to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda suddenly thought it was mutar to use a candle with an eggshell. If I keep quiet over here now, when I see him doing this on this marble floor, nafik minei churba, we'll have destruction will come out of it. He'll understand that it's mutar on a marble floor. There was no gzeira." He says, how can I keep quiet? I've got to tell him to stop. Look at Rashi over here. Nafik min echurba, right? V'yinhagu heter b'lei, you'll make it mutar. Rabbi Yitzchak, svar leik, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak, pehelt leik, Rabbi Yehuda, the davar she'ei mitkaven, Asher, who felt that the davar she'ei mitkaven, even though it wasn't a psik reish, he wasn't sure what happened, was Asher, v'af al gav, de b'shayish lo avit charitz, even though on a marble floor, you wouldn't make a hole, gazar atu ilited ame, he worried about a regular floor, right, where there would be wool. I mean, it would be sand, not wool, right? It'll be sand. So Gzaira Elita the Shaish Atri Dama. So he said, no, it's a Gzaira, you can't do it. Can't do it. We're going to tell this story. Reish Kanishta de Batra. Now Batra is just around the corner here, right? Between Telmon and Ranana. But if you look at the Makor, it's not actually there. Rashi says over here. Rashi says Reish Kanishta, he was a maftik, some sort of gaba. Hamachni sumotzi umiyashev talmidim betinokot. He was a gaba in the shul. The Batra says, where's Batra Shai Makom? Ki zevach lashem be Batra in Yoshia. I looked up there, and there's a note there. It brings it. It was a place in Emorim. I think it's in Edom. Right? There's in one of the notes there, it says in Edom. It's near Jordan on that side over there. Another place called Batra. Selwyn's nodding very, seems to be agreeing with me there. Okay, right? Right? So it's nonetheless in Batra. And what happened? He was doing the same thing, dragging a bench, right in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi, great Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Amalash Rabbi Yirmiyah says like this, come on, who's this guy holding like Rabbi Shimon Amar? Is he passing like Rabbi Shimon? Amar Rabbi Shimon begedolim. Now look at this. We spoke a second ago that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon have a machlok about Davashelam mit Kaveh. Davashelam mit Kaveh. Rabbi Shimon says mutar. Rabbi Yehuda says asu. But it's a psik reisha, different story. Now the question is, what floor was this, right? The Batra Garas Hasan the Ilumi Rabbi Yirmiyah. I'm like, come on. Who's this guy holding like Rabbi Shimon Amar? Rabbi Shimon begedolim dlo efshar begtani miamar. He said like this. What did it, he says? He seems to want to say, when did Rabbi Shimon say that? We're getting a little bit over time here. I apologize. When did Rabbi Shimon want to say that you can drag a bench? Well, it's a big bench. You can't pick it up, so therefore drag it. In other words, if you can't carry it, then you can drag it. It's mutar, but it's not mutar under any circumstance. Just if you can't help it, you can do it. Aval beketani mi'amar, but a little bench that he said was okay. And this seems to be like a small bench, so why was he dragging it? And the Gemara says, yeah, now the Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabba, who says that Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between a big and a small bench, pliga de ula, he argues with that ula, right? The ula, the amar ula, machloket beketani. Ula says that the machloket is dafke about ketanim, aval begedolim divrei hakol mutar. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say with a big bench, everyone says mutar if it's davashelam mikaveh. Where's the machloket? The machloket is the small ones. That there Rabbi Shimon says mutar, and there Rabbi Yehuda says asu. And Rabbi Yirmiyah, right, understood that Rabbi Shimon only allowed when it was small. Okay, clear the machloket? Everybody clear? Right. Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef brings a bright over here, which seems to be a stir over here to both Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmi, and Ula. Rabbi Shimon Omer Gora Damita Kisei B'Safsal. He says over here, Rabbi Shimon said, when can you drag a bench? If it's, what can you drag? It's a mita here means like a couch, a kisei, a chair, and a safsal is a bench. Ubi Ovad Shloit Kave Nasot Charitz. As long as you don't have intention to make a charit, to davar shemir, if you did, if a charit was made, it's an enemy kaveh, not the end of the world. Gerati says, ketani gedolim, uktani ketanim. He says, both big and small. Right? You understand that a safsal is big, or a mita is big, and a kisa is small. And he says there, kashi le tarvayu. This is a kashi, both on ula, because ula says there's a machloket over here, we'll see in a second, with regard to the small ones. And Kashia also to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that he's only matir the big ones. And we seem to see over here, he says you can bring the small ones and the big ones. Right? How was it a machloket, a Kashia to both of them? He says, Kashia le tarvai, ula metarets le tame, Rabbi Yirmiyah metarets le tame. So both Ula and Rabbi Yirmiyah each answer Ula in their own way. It's like this. Ula metarets le tame, how does Ula say it's not a stira when Ula says the machloket is about the small ones? He says, Mita Dumir Kisa. He says, no. He says that this really, as far as Rabbi Shimon's concerned, a mita, a couch and a chair are the same things. They're both small. And therefore, when he said there, Mita Kisa, but stuff, he's speaking about small things. They're all small things. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Mita, how does Rabbi Yirmiyah say it's not a problem? He says, Kisa Dumir de Mita. He says that a Kisa, a chair, is like a mit, like a couch. Right? Look at Rashi over here. Dumir de Kisei says Ketani Ubahemu da Asa Rabbi Yehuda Aval begedolim Shari. So he says that Ula, that Rabbi Shimon says mutar, but Rabbi Yehuda says it's Asu, right? And then Yerubim said kisa dumida mita gadolim ubahahu deshay Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Mashi says this examples here are speaking about big things. The kisa is also a big one. So both of them explain this brighter to suit themselves. The other Rabbi Shimon says dafka big things. And on small ones, small things, and Daf and Abiyuda will agree, disagree with them on the small things. All this part is speaking about big things, and yes, it is mutar, and even on small ones, he would say he's asu. Okay, so the one seems to satisfy that quite nicely. Rabbi Tama Ulamita, Rabbi says like this: Mochre ksut, mochrin kedarkan. He says, people who say mochre kedarkan, look at Rashi's here, ksuchel kilayim. You're selling clothes, right, which have got shatnez in them. You can sell them in your normal way. What does it mean normal way? Look at Rashi. Lov shol b'shuk kedei laharoto lemochod lo asher Torah ele levisha shihidit chamein b'derech kol harofshim v'hala'a dumeret levisha nami demit nehebe. Where the Torah says asher to wear shatnez, if you're wearing it in a way that you want to get benefit from it, you want to get warm out of it. And here we saw there was an issue of ha'alap, just leaning it on you. That's also if you want to get hana'a from it. But if you want to wear the clothes, you're wearing your jacket, so you can walk out of the market, everyone see your jacket, and you want to sell it, that's not hana'a for shatnez. They say you can wear it even though it's shatnez. That's what he says here. Look here. Now we're discussing the idea of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda on Davar Shana Mit Kaven. So it's clear when you wore the clothes, you weren't wearing it for hana'a. Ah, you might have got hana'a, that wasn't your intention, therefore the shatnez is an issue. Right? As long as in the hot, you aren't wanting to keep from the sun. Where's the raincoat? Any people who are more particular, they don't want you to even think or say a bad thing about them. They want to be very particular. They will put it onto a stick over their shoulder and carry it like, who's it? That Tom Sawyer, right? When he wanders off there with a thing over his over his shoulder, and they won't actually wear them. So, what I don't understand? Why are we even allowing you to wear it? You can do like ketsnuin. Everybody can carry on a stick and get out of that chashash of being maybe of a shatnez. So he says, "Dechi ketanin dami." That's like carrying a little bench. Why allow you to carry the little bench? If you don't, why allow you to drag a little bench if you can carry it? Why allow you to wear shatnez if you can put it on a stick? Right? And we said, Rabbi Shimon says, you don't, can't carry a little one because you can carry, you only drag when it's big. Same idea, right? The chilomit kaven shari. And if you have, and nonetheless, we said, if it's domit kaven shari, lechat chila. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi, Tiyufta. This is a Tiyufta, Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said that Rabbi Shimon says that only big ones you can drag, small ones you can't drag. We see over here that nonetheless, you can wear shatnez, even though you could have carried it on a stick, same as carrying little ones. Therefore, he says, it's no problem, you can carry it. And it's not like Ulu wanted to say that the machlokas with Katanim, and everybody says, you can, with no problem whatsoever, end of Aviyah.